This is a CBC podcast.
Hey, I'm Claire Bonnieman, and this is Edmonton, a local podcast from CBC News.
Come here.
That is my alarm. More specifically, that is a 15-pound cat crawling all over me between the hours of 6 and 7 a.m. most days of the week.
Hey.
Zachary, his given name, is a morning person. And I, at this point in my life, am not. Maybe you have your own Zachary. Or a child that, while lovable, doesn't get that 5 a.m. isn't an okay time to be awake. Or just an alarm that feels so much worse on a Monday morning. It's this time of year we so often start thinking about waking up with more sunshine, brighter mornings. We're approaching time change, and things are just going to get brighter from here. So how can we better embrace our early Edmonton mornings? And what effect are these wake-ups having on our lifestyle?
It has lots of dimensions, you know, chemical dimensions, biological dimensions, cultural dimensions, social dimensions, and it all kind of blends together into our sleep, and it's not well studied and often neglected. You know, it's kind of like, I often liken it to religion. You know, many attend, but few understand.
Dr. Atul Kular is the medical director of the Northern Alberta Sleep Clinic and a clinical associate professor at the U of A. I called him up on a video chat to ask about the clinical and medical ways we can look at sleep and waking up.
There are multiple different ways to look at it. You know, sometimes sleep is a problem of its own accord, and that's often what we see. But just as often, we see that sleep is the downstream, casualty of other sort of health, social, and psychological problems.
So as someone who is a sleep expert, are you good at sleep, doctor?
I actually am. I don't have any trouble. My thing, and is being honest with yourself is really important about sleep, is I am a bona fide night owl, so I definitely do prefer to get up later and go to bed later. Hey, you know, if you're not a morning person, don't take 8 o'clock classes. You know, try to, as best you can, move your schedule around or look at a lifestyle that will allow you to wake up and go to sleep at your optimal sort of body clock times. And you can definitely change this, and it does get earlier with age, but it's always a bit unnatural.
When we are actually waking up, when we are setting those alarms, are there good ways or bad ways to wake up?
I think how you wake up is kind of an indictment on how you sleep. So if it's easier to wake up, you're probably doing something right. It comes down to, I think, really looking at, is this the right time for me to be waking up? Is there anything I can adjust? Like, and it can be just a difference of 30, 40 minutes, right? You know, I think the working from home thing really made people realize that, hey, you know what? I don't need to get up this early and I get more work done. And that has kind of continued with some of these split sort of jobs. But, I think the biggest thing that I would say from a wake up point of view is to get as much light as possible early in the morning. So if you are not waking up on the right side of the bed, then you have to look at all these factors. And another point I'd like to make is sleep is a 24-hour thing, right? You know, people don't grasp that what you can do at 3, 4 o'clock can really affect your sleep, PM, right? So I think if you are struggling to wake up, yes, there are better ways to wake up. But the gist of it is if you're struggling to wake up, you need to reevaluate your sleep health and your sleep patterns.
Daylight, check. Easy to accomplish, especially in a place that sees sunrises around 5 a.m. at peak solstice. But how do we cope with the swings in daylight, or with an angry cat, or even just springing forward?
Minimize them at all possible. The snooze button is not usually a good idea. You should just get up once, maybe hit it once or twice. What can be done to allow you to get up at your preferred time, says first. And then secondly, another big issue to deal with the environmental stuff is making sure you're getting enough sleep, because it's a lot easier to wake up when you're not sleep deprived.
What are some of those key habits that someone, especially here in Edmonton, could adopt, considering, you know, the massive swings we have in daylight and sunshine over the year?
Yeah, and that's a really good point. So, for example, in summer, you want to almost reduce your evening light. And if you happen to be out later, wearing kind of UV reflecting sunglasses can keep the light from keeping you awake. Because what happens in summer, and is the light is, you know, it's light for a very long time, and it can actually keep you up longer, make it more difficult to wake up. So the flip side, obviously, is in winter, you know, sometimes using a light box, you know, something like that, or, you know, getting as much natural light as quick as possible in the morning would be a couple of strategies to help wake up more consistently.
How do you operate with some of those in your own life?
Well, I think one of the things, I use blackout blinds, so it's under my control, right? So I think that's first. You know, you mentioned a cat or a kid, you know, you don't want the sun necessarily waking you up, right, a little earlier than you want to. I really, myself, have really kind of changed my environment as best possible, so I start a bit later, right? But I think the key is, through all of this, Claire, is I think if you want to wake up better, you have to get enough sleep. You can jerry-rig every trick you want, and some of it helps, some of it doesn't. But if you're not getting enough sleep on a consistent basis, it is going to be harder to wake up.
You know, I saw a comedian talk recently about how every article on how to sleep better is kind of the same three tricks over and over. How do you, as a sleep doctor, communicate these base healthy habits to people without it feeling like a broken record?
I think the thing that's missed in a lot of this sort of media sleep stuff is these habits are critical. Absolutely they are. But by themselves, they will not work. They have to lead to behavioral change. And, you know, it's interesting, they've done studies showing that sleep hygiene or just better sleep habits won't do it. You need to fundamentally use some behavioral techniques to actually change your behavior. So that would be one. Because most people, they're not actually fully changing the behavior. So, for example, the computer's still in the bedroom. They're still watching TV for 3 hours in the bed, right? You know, they're laying in bed for long periods of time, right? So, you know, those are more detrimental. And the second point is, if they're using the same tricks over and over and over again, and they're not working, there's something else wrong. You know, there could be a physical problem, a mental health problem, a different sort of sleep disorder that needs sort of full evaluation.
So how do we stop tossing and turning? And what can we put into action today? Well, one, the doctor says do not lie in bed awake. Only use it for sleep and intimacy. Get the phone out of the room, move your TV into a different space, and if you can't sleep, go sit on the couch or something. Number two is stop watching the clock. That includes checking your fitness tracker or your cell phone to see how late it actually is. It doesn't help. And if you have read all the sleep articles, turned your bedroom into a cave, and removed all time-tracking devices from your sleep space?
If you have done these things and you are still struggling, then it's time to get assessed, you know, with, if you can find one in this province, a family doctor, right, getting a referral to some sort of sleep center, just so someone can sit down and look at, you know, the multitude of factors that may be impacting your sleep, whether it be physical health, mental health, psychological issues, stress. You know, we catch all manner of medical problems, you know, in the sleep clinic, all manner of mental health problems that without looking at it, the sleep just won't be as optimized.
Mm-hmm. It's important to catch it before it gets to severe, oh my God, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So that is the clinical side of sleep. But what about someone who lives out an early wake-up call every day? Full disclosure, it used to be me. I was a technician on our radio morning show here at CBC, and I actually had a super early alarm for much of my early 20s. But I wanted to find someone who's living out those early hours right now in Edmonton and understands the importance of a strong cup of coffee.
Hello, I'm Bailey French. And I'm a baker.
Goodness. Hey, this is your toy, not that.
Dogs and microphones, incredible combinations. Bailey has been waking up early and baking for almost 7 years now. She's currently a pastry chef at Bonjour Bakery on White Ave. We met up on the north side on her couch with her puppy Fig, a 7-month-old mini schnauzer, to talk about her early shifts and food, of course. What does being a pastry chef entail? Because it sounds very fancy.
It does sound really fancy, and I think if I worked in like a Michelin-starred restaurant, it would mean more, but as it is, I purely make pastries. I do croissant and other small things like cakes and cookies.
Do you have a favorite thing that you make at Bonjour?
Right now, I'm doing some R&D for cheesecakes, and I don't know if I love doing it or I just love how much my coworkers love that I'm doing it, because it's all for testing right now and they just get to eat cheesecake like every other day.
Can I just say, I love that the phrase R&D for cheesecake exists.
I love it. It does sound kind of silly.
It sounds great. Like, not silly. It sounds like what I wish I could do every day.
Yeah, me too. I keep getting interrupted by like the rest of my job.
Don't care. No.
So what time do you wake up every morning?
3:30. As soon as my alarm goes off, I get up. I have a partner, so I try not to interrupt his sleep too much. I have all my stuff laid out and ready to go, so I don't have to get dressed in the dark. And then I'll get my dog out, put her outside while I get breakfast ready. I force myself to eat super early, and I have coffee, and I sit on the couch with my dog pretty much until I have to go. And it's dark and cold, but...
Tell me about that sitting on the couch with your dog. Like, what does it mean to you to do that? Because realistically, that could be more time spent in bed.
I think for me, I've always liked having a bit more time before work. It just makes me feel more prepared and I'm not rushed. Now that I have the dog, it is nice to be able to get to spend time with her before I'm gone for 8 hours. And
I like that that matters, even if it is happening at like 4 a.m.
Yeah, I agree. It's a weird time, but when I have the 20 minutes, I'm happy to spend it with this little thing.
I never got good at the wake up. Don't get me wrong, I survived, but there are morning people and then there are not morning people. And no matter what kind of person you are, getting up in the middle of the night is hard to adjust to. So I wanted to ask Bailey how she made a 3:30 a.m. wake-up call work for her and the realities of living in what can feel like a different time zone.
Have you always been, or do you even define yourself as a morning person?
I didn't until you contacted me about this.
Sorry.
No, all good. I just, like, for me, was sort of, you get up when you have to get up, but... In reality, I would say I am a morning person, and I have been for a long time. I don't know if I like thought about it much when I was younger, but I do remember being super young, and my dad had his company, and he worked a lot, and he would leave super early. So I would get up super early to have breakfast with him, and I loved it. I loved spending time with him, and I still am like my dad's daughter for sure. So it's always been nice, I guess, for me. To be up in the morning, and not that I'm always waking up at 3:30, but I do like to wake up earlier than most people, I think.
How does your family react to your mornings and the time your alarm goes off now?
I think for them, maybe they just don't realize how much of my time and effort is like protecting my bedtime and my sleep schedule, because of course people want to see you and that's so nice and so lovely and you hate to say no, but if someone wants to have dinner with you on Thursday at 6 o'clock, it's kind of, you can't do it. I have to go to bed at 7. I guess a lot of it is convincing people you truly have to go to bed when you have to go to bed. Even for myself, like there's a term, and it's like translated from like Japanese, and it's like nighttime revenge procrastination, where you feel that you haven't gotten enough stuff done in the day or you haven't had enough personal time, so then you stay up late to enjoy that personal time, even though you're paying for it in the morning. So for me, if it's 8 o'clock, I'm like, oh my god, like I have to go to bed, I've done this to myself, like I'm gonna be so like groggy in the morning, this is gonna suck.
How much would you say you think about sleep and waking up?
At least 2 hours of my evening is like, am I going to get to bed on time? 9 o'clock, if I'm up at 9 o'clock, I get super anxious, and it's, I know I'm gonna be so tired in the morning, and you want to come home and take a nap, but then you also still have to go to bed at 7, so we're like, oh. Like,
did you ever think so much of your life would be taken up with your nighttime routine?
Of course not. I was a teenager once, and it didn't matter when you went to bed or you got up. You were just living.
What do you love most about your early mornings?
The quiet. Just being able to be alone. I'm very introverted, so it's important to me.
Sorry. I like when you say alone when Fig is like, no, you are very much with me. Hi, Fig. So, some parting advice from a certified morning person?
Be ready for it. Yeah. Like, don't make yourself get dressed in the dark. Develop a routine that works. For me, that involves caffeine and yoga. It could probably be any exercise, but I do find that moving in any small way does help wake you up. Have like a breakfast plan. If you're gonna eat, it's hard to, but it's important, I think. Maybe for like 2 weeks, buy whatever you need to have the same thing every day. It sounds really boring, but it works. And I think a big one is don't hit snooze. Never hit snooze. Once you start, game over. You're not getting up when you need to get up.
Are you horribly offended that I've now forced you to consider yourself a morning person?
No.
I'm glad I didn't ruin your sense of self.
Yeah, I used to be cool, and then Claire told me I was a morning person.
Ruining lives, one podcast at a time. This is Edmonton is a local podcast from CBC News. Our senior producer is Leslie Goldstone, and I'm Claire Bonnieman. This is Edmonton is recorded on Treaty 6 territory, the traditional gathering place of the Cree, Soto, Blackfoot, Métis, Dene, and Nakota Sioux. Email us a question, comment, or a story idea at thisisyeg@cbc.ca. Leave us a rating or a review wherever you download the show, and share it with your friends. That's also where you can find our sibling shows from Calgary, Vancouver Island, Montreal. There's lots of great stories being told. And you can find us and all of them wherever you get your podcasts.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.